Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda and I'm in South Pasadena. And I have my co-host Margaret Sheldon on the line, who's in Boston.
Oh, am I ever. You know, not supposed to really dwell on the weather, but it's going to be 90, I don't know, 7 today. And
but it's fall and you can't wear white pants anymore.
Oh, I think we break that rule now. But the good news is it's supposed to, the temperature drops tomorrow by 30 degrees.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's what, that means all the kids can wear the clothing their mothers bought them for school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always the hard thing. Back to school clothes, you don't plan on 90 degree weather. So,
yeah,
and it's all good. Yeah, I was in Vermont last weekend, so that felt like fall. And
oh, I bet it did.
And, you know, the trees are just starting to tinge orange, and it was just spectacular. I love mountain air, the way it gets so cold at night. It just kind of, I don't know, it's my weather. So
that's
yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
And
well, today is day
30
six.
And 30. Yeah.
Day
yeah.
six. Of the 30 and 30, and it's going great. You guys, there's a lot of fantastic art. If you want to see it, just go to my website at sedastudio.com and click on
mm-hmm.
the link that says September 2018, 30 and 30 paintings, and you'll see them right there.
So inspirational.
Yeah. No, really, really. Just, you know, I tell you, it's just so cool, and it's fun to be back painting again, I have to admit. It's kind of crazy, but I'm really enjoying it, and it's just been a really good thing. So it's taking a lot of organization on my part.
Leslie, your life takes organization, and you do it better than anyone I know. My husband is similar to you. You know, if
mm-hmm.
I could get 5 things done, he'll put 20 on his list. He might not get all 20, but boy, he'll get 16 done. And it's always amazing to me that, you know, you guys squeeze more time out of a day. I don't know. Maybe I'm just slower moving, but I kind of
well,
think
I can
too.
Tell you right now that I am happier than I have ever been in my job. I've never been this happy. Now that I'm painting in it too, that it's really complete. But I have never, I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Most people know we bought a house in Waco for a project
mm-hmm.
for me, primarily a project that I can share on my blog and on my Instagram. And it's a 1910 house on a double lot that's quite small. It's like 1,100 square feet. I'm pretty sure
mm-hmm.
we will be adding onto it, not just the wraparound porch that I want. And right now I'm in the process of securing a ton of sponsors who are going to help offset the cost for my remodel, which is super exciting. I'm still in shock that so many people want to be involved, which is really cool. And yeah, and right now I'm decorating my house for fall, and I think it's only going to be 87 here today, so whatever.
Oh, gosh, I know. Fall, it's true. There comes a day, and I'm sure it's going well. I'm having a little knee procedure done tomorrow. Otherwise, I definitely
like knee replacement surgery, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My husband keeps saying they're going to throw the old one on a bone pile, kind of like, you know, it's your drive shaft from your car or something. Out with the, I know it's terrible, out with the old and with the new. I have this vision of a car mechanic working on me. But anyway, tomorrow would be pumpkin day for sure. There's just something about making that switch. You probably don't do this in California, but like we switch from impatience and geraniums and things in our flowers to, you know, mums and lots of kale. And, you know, it's a totally different palette. And especially if you're a painter, you know, it's sort of, it's like a little flip of a switch. You know, everything looks so different. Even the beaches, because they're empty now, look so different
uh-huh.
to us here in the Northeast that kind of gives everybody a restart, at least. So I guess I'll have to send John off to find the appropriate sized pumpkins. We'll see.
What's your recovery? What's your recovery? Are you supposed to immediately be walking on, or are you down for a long time?
No, because there's, just like any surgery, there's always, a fear of blood clots. So they replace your knee in the morning and they have you walking in the afternoon, which is miraculous, right? But
what? It's insane.
I have learned with my husband, because, he had his rotator cuff done. Here's the thing. They use these nerve blocks. And so the first couple of days, you feel terrific. It's when those, blocks start to wear to deal with the recovery. And I don't know. What they tell me, they like to set low expectations, which I appreciate. In 6 months, I'll feel great. But in a year, I won't think about it anymore. And I figure that's a fair trade, because I injured this knee skiing when I was, all of 19 or 20. So it'll be just fine.
It's about time for a tune-up.
Working with recovery pain, as opposed to, sort of deconstructing pain. Like, it's not going to get worse now. It should only get better. So anyway, I put it off too long. My advice to everyone is don't put it off like I did, because you just end up in too much pain. And there's no reason for it. So, going to take care of business. And we'll see what that means for painting for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
We have made a lot of adjustments in my studio, so I think I'll be in good shape.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It won't be because I'm not comfortable. One thing about New Englanders is they never throw out furniture. So John was pulling out, wing chairs and old things, saying, how about this? What if we put casters on that? And, we've got a nice little setup. So I'm looking forward to, there'll probably be a couple of days that are tough. And then by next week, I think I'll be feeling like I'm making progress. It's all about progress.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I think that the 30 and 30 is – I just want to say, if you're not involved in 30 and 30 and you're just hearing this now, you can still join. Basically, just go to my website, go to the 30 and 30 tab and read everything about it, and just start painting and then start posting. It's very simple. And it's not about, having started on the first. If you just are finding out about it now, please join us, because you'll probably paint way more than you normally were going to. And that's what the whole point is of doing this in the month of September. Last week when we did a show on the advantages of painting at 30 and 30, I kept talking about painting small. And I kept thinking, but I'm going to paint large. Because painting on a big canvas has a lot of really good things and challenges. Sometimes there's just the appeal of working on a large scale in a loose style. Or, sometimes the subject maybe you think would just look better on a large canvas. But what you need to do is understand how important it is to paint large. When I was painting small and painting oils, and I would be approached by clients, interior designers, they all said to me, you have to paint larger. Everybody wants larger art. Nobody really – I mean, it's great to have a little, vignette of 4 6x6s, but ideally that's not what they're looking for. And when I started painting abstracts, small abstracts seemed a little ridiculous. It didn't seem like it made sense. So I instantly jumped to 36x36, and you could probably ask, what does large mean? For some people it's different than others, but I think anything over like a 16x20 is large.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, David Aberg has an 86,000 square foot painting. He is a Swedish artist and spent 2.5 years and 100 tons of paint to complete his work. It's called Mother Earth.
Amazing.
And it's inside an aircraft hangar in Sweden. Okay, I agree that an 80,000 square foot painting is large. But I don't think that's what we're talking here. What do you think is large, Margaret? I'm just curious.
Oh,
what do you,
you
think
know,
would be a large
funny.
Painting?
I think 24 by 24 is a good size painting. I'm going to divide this now, right? I would call that like large medium. But I think once you go over that 24-inch dimension, whether it's 24 by 36, you know, you're starting to move your whole arm, you know, which is obviously what it's all about. But I've painted some pretty large paintings, and I love them. You know, I've got a couple that are like 52 by 48, and I like that just off square size. And they're my favorite paintings. So I don't know. You've got to do what works for you at the time. It takes a lot of concentration, I think, to sustain a large painting if you're going to be working on it. But sometimes that's really satisfying because you go back and, like, you know just where you want to start in again. And, you know, that there's a lot to be said for that rather than facing a blank, you know, 12 by 12. Every day, looking at a white canvas can get you down. Now, there are a few reasons I think it's a really good idea to paint larger. I can kind of give you the ups and downs from my perspective. But number one, it has to be said, it's more profitable. And, you know, there are certain themes when we talk to artists, especially artists that don't know us. Leslie, at this workshop last week, somebody did whip their head around and say, I know you, because they heard me talking. And they were like, you and Leslie. And I thought, yes, that's right. That is true. But the conversation, of course, went to pricing of art. And if you're pricing by the square inch, that's one clear way for you to know that it's more profitable to go art. Look, everybody struggles with this, but bigger costs more, takes more time, has more materials involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, those canvases cost more. It's also going to cost the client a little more to frame if you're not doing the framing, but that's fine. Buyers definitely want larger paintings. And in no small part, that is because they're putting them in a room, and sometimes it's the focal point, whether it's going over a fireplace, you know, in a bedroom, whatever. The market is there for large paintings. So there you go. You can expand your clientele. You have to be sort of thoughtful about this. I know a lot of people say, well, smaller paintings are more affordable, but you don't know what they're looking for. Not everyone is looking for a small painting. So maybe if you paint large, you'll find some new buyers that you really haven't been aware of. I think that's probably true of everyone we know who's been in this market.
Yeah.
You know,
no, you're so...
if you can offer different sizes and different price points, it just... there you go. It appeals to a larger audience. So I think some people who maybe start out as collectors start at a smaller painting, you know, live with it for a while. And then if you can offer those people a larger painting, chances are they might decide to go for it. They already love your work. Maybe they hadn't thought of you as being an option for that larger piece that they need. And the final thing I can tell you, hands down, galleries want larger paintings for the same reasons. It's a higher price point. That's what the customers are coming in and asking for. And even if you're entering into an art show, a larger piece makes a larger statement. So I think there's a lot of reasons for people. You know, the truth is, just try it. You have nothing to lose. In fact, I think everyone I know starts small, and as the years go by and they become more, you know, facile in their painting, they start to crave larger canvases. So it's a winner.
I totally agree. And if you dream of painting on a big scale, but you're maybe a little intimidated when you face a, you know, blank normal size canvas, here are some tips to kind of help you get through that. And the first thing you have to do is figure out the scale of the painting. So let's say you have a smaller painting that you did that you like, and maybe it's something in your backyard. You need to decide whether or not you're going to paint your subject the same scale as you usually do. So if you've got this small picture, you're going to take the picture and add all this other stuff to it because it's still going to be about the same size. Or you have to decide if you're just going to paint it at a larger scale. So have the same amount of stuff in a painting, but it's just going to be much bigger. And it's kind of a hard decision to make because sometimes it works one way and not the other. You want to be sure and fill the canvas with your subjects. So if you have small subject matter with a vast background, you really need to vary your background to make it work. You have to be really careful that if you're just painting a painting you already painted, if you keep it at the same scale and it's like only 10% of your canvas, you really need to bring that background out or sky or whatever it is to make it work.
Right.
Painting a subject bigger doesn't guarantee a better painting, nor does having a more detailed or complex subject. So you really have to find the balance between the size of the canvas, the subject of the painting, and your style of painting. You know, we've all at some point in time painted still life. I've seen many artists paint those huge big pairs, like one pair or even a portion of a pair on a 36 by 36 canvas. And sometimes that works great. But if you were going to carry that little small pair on a big canvas, it may not work. So you're going to have to be more creative and perhaps change that option or even change your subject matter. So it's kind of a fine line. And over time, I think it becomes a lot easier. And you can figure out, you know, what you want to include in your painting and what you don't.
Right. I mean, that's where all those little field studies and sketches and smaller paintings kind of come to play. They've kind of taught you how to paint a lot of different things. And, you know, I have to say I do probably one workshop a year. Part of it is my desire not to have too many voices in my head. And I wanted my voice coming through the brush, right? But I took this workshop with Colly Wisson. He was amazing. The second time I've actually painted with him. And you know what I was reminded of? That just, if you remember when you used to just read a novel and then in English lit class, you know, the teacher would start to dissect the structure of it. And you thought, really? Did the author think about all that or did they just tell a story? The same thing with the painting. Because we forget, you know, that the composition of the painting is very thoughtful. And on a large scale, I have to say, it kind of frees you up to really think about that. You know, how does the eye move through the painting? It can be a lot of fun if you remember that you are the one designing that large, large canvas. So I had that reinforced for me this week. And it was kind of exciting because it's almost like, I'm such a colorist, I forgot about the fun of that part of it. So, all right, I'll move on now. And here's something that I absolutely love. With a bigger canvas, you use bigger tools. So your palette knives are larger. Your brushes are larger. You know, a lot of people will actually get in there and use smaller squeegees and things to move paint. Painting on a large canvas, it's the perfect opportunity to try working with those tools and, you know, bigger than you are normally using. You can't use that little 1-inch palette knife if you're, A, trying to mix up a big pile of paint, but, B, you're just not going to be able to cover that canvas. And, again, it's that large arm movement that I really like. So just remember, it's not just a question of larger palette knives are going to help you cover it faster, but it actually kind of loosens you up and you won't get so caught up in the minutiae, the details, especially like people do. You see it when they have a small brush, they're making small movements. Big canvas, you get to move back and forth, left to right, step back. You have to step back with large canvas. There's no getting away from it. And, you know, you're not only like stretching yourself to paint to the outer edges, but you're actually physically stretching, which is kind of cool if you think about it. If you get too tight, all of those elements in your painting are going to like start to curve down at the ends because you're not really getting that full movement. You know, everything about your movement, if your movement is constricted, especially on a large canvas, your painting is going to look that way. And everything will kind of be just a little off. So I think get in there and like really enjoy the fact that you're going to take up more space in the world with this painting. And that means not only the painting itself, but the act of painting it.
So true.
You love it? Well, aerobic painting.
Yes. That's why you can't sit down when you paint a large painting. Not
absolutely.
An option. Okay, another thing is, and this is kind of obvious, you're going to need more paint.
Yeah.
A large canvas is obviously going to use more paint than a smaller one. You know, if you're painting from color straight from a tube, it's simply a case of squeezing out more paint on your palette more frequently or squeezing out more time. Now, if you're mixing colors, you have to remember to mix a greater quantity. And that is probably the hardest thing, or was the hardest thing for me, is I kept running out of paint, kept having to remix and remix when I first started painting larger because I didn't really have a grasp of how much more paint I needed. And that is kind of exponentially your answer from the standpoint that if you were painting a 12 by 12 and now you're painting a 48 by 48, you're going to kind of need exponentially that much more paint. And it's so much easier if you mix a bigger pile of paint to begin with. So just saying. And you're going to learn that. And over time, it's going to be easier for you to kind of just instinctively know how much paint do you need to put together. So,
yeah, as
kind
soon
of
you
an obvious
find
tip.
Yourself mixing too much, right?
Yeah.
Whoops, got to mix more. Uh-huh. You won't make that mistake twice. No question.
I've always said I'm a great color mixer because I have so much experience because I always run out of paint.
Oh, Lord. That's great. Well, if you have this great big canvas in front of you, you're going to have to learn to cope with it. And some people find the scale of a large canvas really overwhelming. So take a tip from the pros here. Divide that canvas up. Divide it up into quarters or sixths. Do whatever it takes. Maybe you've done a small sketch. You know, divide the sketch up too. It's the old thing about the way you paint a mural, you know, one section at a time. At least when you're laying it in or you're doing the underpainting, that really, really helps keep you from being overwhelmed by the size of it. And I know some people have really small studios or they paint, you know, in their dining room or whatever. If your studio isn't big enough for you to really step back far enough to look at that big canvas, do the old trick of set up a mirror. If you have a large mirror on the wall opposite your canvas, you can turn around and you'll be able to see the whole painting at once, just as if it's from a distance. It doubles the distance you have. So I know a lot of artists actually hang canvases on the wall to paint.
Mm-hmm.
There's even wall easels, which are kind of cool. It works really well, but if you're going to do that, make sure you put some plastic up, not only on the wall behind it, but under it, because you know, you don't want to end up trashing your house unless everyone in your family is on board with that. A lot of easels will actually expand. I know people buy easels oftentimes thinking they're going to stay smaller, but you would be surprised if you decide to go larger. Sometimes you can sort of jerry-rig it a little bit, and your existing easel will be able to support it. Don't be afraid to use, you know, a clamp here or there if you need that to stabilize it, but it's amazing how little space you actually need if you're going to paint large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're definitely right. Obviously, if you're going to paint large, it's going to take more time. It's not It's not equal, though. It doesn't take 10 times longer to paint a painting 10 times bigger, because the thought and the preparation and the composition and all that happens in both paintings, and just because it's bigger, it doesn't take exponentially that much longer. It does take longer to put the paint on the canvas, but it just takes more time, and you have to plan for that. So if you like to paint a la prima, which is wet on wet, which I'm sure everyone knows, you need to block a larger amount of time. Now, I know there are people, there are plein air painters who try to paint large, and you see the huge canvas on their easel, and it's just so amazing that they can pull that off, because, you know, I still fight to chase the sun and everything else.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When it's bigger, it does take a lot longer. And I'm so impressed when they do that, but you just have to allow for that and realize it's totally fine to go back to your studio and finish it if you run out of time. I mean, that's okay.
Right.
But understand it does take longer. And I think it's easier to paint large than small. I didn't think that in the beginning, but I totally think that now. So
it is kind of fun. Oh. That's the bottom line. It is kind of fun. You've got to shake it up, you know. Shaking it up is what makes it happen. Anyway, that's my two cents worth. Now, what about people who want to paint large with watercolors? I have to say immediately, Joseph Raphael comes to mind. He paints gorgeous but huge watercolors. And if you look online, there's a gallery, and it explains that he tapes his papers together on the back. And then what he does when he wants to ship it to the galleries, because let's say they're four sheets or whatever, he actually separates them. And when they get to their destination, the framer mounts them separately, but it ends up looking like one huge painting. I know watercolor paper typically comes, I think it's 22 by 30. I've seen larger ones, but, you know, sometimes the cost is outrageous. You can paint on 260-pound paper. That's
right.
Really thick. And that's, I think, about 26 by 40. There are things called elephant-sized sheets of paper. Those are 29 by 31. And you can also, really, you can get rolls. You can get watercolor canvas, 40 inches, 50 inches in width, and those are 10 yards long. I will tell you that there's a couple of problems with that. The first one is that material is expensive.
Oh, really? Okay.
The other thing, really expensive. But the other problem with painting that large is the framing. If you aren't using canvas where you stretch and varnish, you have to go ahead and frame oversized sheets of watercolor. And remember, it's not only the backing, it's the matting, it's the glass, it's the frame. Really expensive. So if you can stay with standard sizes, which are under 40 inches, it's going to be expensive if you're up at the top of that range, but you won't get that sort of enormous overcharge. And, you know, sometimes it's cool to paint. If your idea is larger than your paper, think about doing like a diptych or a triptych. So two that go together, three that go together.
Great idea.
You know, there's, what is this? Chris Kropinski, I think I got that right. Paintings did this, and she framed each painting. It was a triptych, so three. Each one was separate. But the way the mat was cut from a distance, it read as one large painting. It's really cool. So here's the thing. I know, right? Like to have the mat go across and not have it turn up kind of so it would read as one large painting. I mean, you could really play with this. Be lucky enough to do three great paintings that go together and then just have at it. I know some people paint a subject large first and then go back and we'll do smaller versions. A lot of people do it the other way around. Leslie, you and I both took at different times from Scott Christensen, and he's got studies everywhere that inform his larger paintings. And it's really kind of wonderful. Whatever it is you do, I think going smaller after you've painted that large feels like a piece of cake. It's just much, much easier. So
it is.
Have fun with it. Yeah.
One of the things about painting larger that you have to think about, and that is transporting a big canvas. So if as long as you can get it out of your studio, you know, think about that. Don't build the canvas inside your studio and make it not fit out the door. Need to get it to its destination. Now, if you can get it out the door and it's not too far away, you could hire a small delivery company to move it or rent a truck. I've done that before. Rented a truck from U-Haul to deliver something because it wouldn't fit in my car. But I have a client that I've painted six paintings for, and they are going to London. And there's no way I could ship a 6-foot by 8-foot painting to London. So when I get the canvas from my canvas builder, I have him lightly adhere the canvas to the frame with staples, but not, you know, not as close as they normally would do. Because I paint the painting and then I use a little staple remover and remove it from the canvas, put a roll on the canvas and roll it up and drop it off to the interior designer, and she ships it to England. And that is fantastic. And then I have to have my painting guy come pick up the stretcher bars, because otherwise I'd have all these huge, I mean, one of them was like 10 feet by, I don't remember, there's a certain width you can only get in canvas. It wasn't quite 8 feet, but it was crazy. So
it can
be done. And you just obviously have to be really careful when you take it off and make sure it's 1,000% dry. You can use the glycine paper, you know, on top of it when you roll it. I mean, you just have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great option. And, you know, once it gets to its destination, it's just put on stretcher bars again. So there's a lot of way. You also can certainly ship something. And, you know, anything over, I mean, at a certain point in time, it needs to be crated. You can't use, you know, we'll talk about this in a second, but just have to be really careful. But think about that before you start painting, so you don't, you know, getting a finished canvas off of a frame is really hard. So if you know you're going to take it off, when you get the canvas, make sure it's, you do it such that it's easier to get the canvas off the frame than normally.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess if it's that big, you're going to be stretching it yourself, so it kind of makes sense that you could control the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk for a minute about how you ship a really large painting. Well, we already talked about how this can get really expensive, so it's important to do two things. And the first one is make sure you're packaging it sort of safely so that the painting is protected, whether that's rolling or crates. I know that there's some company, and people are going to ask, I can't remember the name, but I will find out, where you can buy, it's almost like a bubble wrap envelope, and it actually has like a Velcro closure at the top, and the width of it will allow for sort of a 2 or 3 inch frame. So, you know, you can get those custom made, but whatever you choose to do, you can certainly do it yourself. Make sure that you're thinking about the safety of your painting. You know, it's going to be in transit. It's going to get bounced around. So do that. Other thing is research. You know, do a little research on all the shipping options, because there's a really wide range of costs. And, I mean, these are like such no-brainers, but sometimes, you know, we get caught up in it and maybe drop one of those steps, and it can cost you, from one shipper to another, you can pay twice as much or more. So let's talk about this. Number one, nothing is worse than packing up a painting and finding out it was damaged in shipping. I just want to sort of parenthetically say insurance is important. Many artists go ahead and crate their paintings in a big wooden box, and they actually have plywood sides. And that's probably the safest option, because nothing's going to poke a hole through your painting, but it's also the most costly. So, you know, sort of spend some time and ask around, and, you know, don't shy away from asking a gallery what they would suggest, particularly if it's a gallery that you're familiar with. Even if they don't represent you, if they've seen you a few times, they'll share the knowledge.
Right.
For paintings that are larger than 20 inches, you can use the mirror telescoping boxes. And if you've ever moved, you know what I mean. They sort of, one compartment slides into the other, so you can make the box larger or smaller. It will accommodate whatever size you actually need to cover. Telescoping picture boxes are terrific, because you can use just one, and sometimes your artwork will fit. But if it's larger, you can put two boxes together. And I know they sell those at all the shipping and packing places. You may even be able to look at like the Uline catalog, but I've seen them when I go into U-Haul. You can buy those boxes, and they're not terribly expensive. And if you're really clever, if you have to, I've seen four boxes kind of hobble together, and it will accommodate a really large piece. And that's kind of a good do-it-yourselfer. But if you're going that large, spend a little time investigating your options.
Right. No, I totally agree. There's two general classes of delivery companies, you know, common carriers such as FedEx, the United States Post Office, and UPS. And they handle small to moderately sized packages. And then the larger freight companies and freight forwarders deal with the larger shipments. So I would say kind of anything that's 30 by 40 or smaller, using one of the common carriers works, and then anything larger will ship via freight company or truck line. And you also should, and I still, if I can, use the FedEx two-day residential to residential. That's the best bargain in town. When you get up to like a 36 by 36, if you use that two-day residential, now obviously you have to be shipping to a home address, it will save you so much money. I mean, you can do it for like 30-ish bucks. It's not that expensive.
That's great.
You should also be aware that many of the common carriers, including UPS, FedEx, and the USPS, have unique size restrictions. So check with them. I've carried a painting around in my car going between the three and had I'm sure the post office said, no, it's too large. And I think that might have been the day I discovered FedEx residential today. And the difference in the price was shocking. It absolutely blew me away. I couldn't believe. So it's really important to shop your local carriers. If you're really smart, you'll set it up all on your computer so that you can put the weight and the dimensions in and do your shopping at home before you head out the door and actually have your label printed, which is good. So you just want to make sure you know what the restrictions are, and you don't want to drop something off for shipment and find out you've incurred huge additional fees because the package was too large. Kind of important.
Yeah. And, you know, I know we artists tend to be running at the last minute, so the more of this you can figure out ahead of time, the better, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, all right. She sighs. The size of the artwork is going to dictate the size of the final package. And let's be honest, there are going to be times when you're going to go over the threshold, either for size or the weight. And that will mean additional costs. But just remember, it is not the end of the world. You should never compromise sort of the safety of your artwork just to shave off a few inches so that you kind of stay under that threshold. You know, when you put bubble wrap or whatever it is that you're going to be using, it's more important to have the thing well packaged. Damaged artwork is going to cost you a lot more than a little bit of a extra shipping fee. Can we just say that anything over 48 by 48 is, I'm not even going to say almost, I'm going to say it will require a wooden crate. So, you know, you can build those yourselves or you can find someone to do it, but there are actually art shipping companies and they will do this. Framing companies will often do it. You can look in the Yellow Pages. You can even, you know, honestly, you can get the resources to build your own crate if you wanted to. I think sometimes it's surprising that the total charge for art crating and shipping from a company that does that will be less than what it would cost you to build it and ship it yourself. So, you know, you have to sort of decide how you want to spend your time and money, but that is a pretty big hassle if you're not really good at it. Or, I mean, maybe you have a relative who's great and they love banging things out, but honestly, compare the cost and consider the cost of your time. And when you're shipping really large pieces of artwork, it will probably, in the end, save you money if you can find someone locally to work with. So, again, talk to other artists. Ask them if they found someone who does a good job, you know, and a good price. This is where I think, you know, an art association is a good thing, or if you're a member of an art group, you know, people love to share what they've already discovered. And it's, again, it's just probably not worth it for you to try to figure all of this out yourself. Don't reinvent the wheel. And, last point, always remember when you're shipping, you want bubble wrap, you want fragile stickers on the outside of that thing. And take the extra step and purchase the insurance. And purchase the insurance so that it includes the cost not only of your painting, but the cost of all the wrapping, all the framing, and all the shipping, like the total package. If this were to disappear, what's it going to cost you to replace it?
Right. Very, very important. So true. Okay, so what about pricing? Ha, 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 the $64 million question.
No kidding.
I know. Now, I don't have a perfect answer because There's no way I can tell you anyone how to price their work. There's one thing you really have to think about, though. Larger paintings typically don't take exponentially more time to paint than smaller paintings. So it may, you know, if you painted a 12 by 16 and you're going to paint a 24 by 48, it may only take two times longer to paint it. And yet the sell price is going to be more than two times. So this is where you can actually
make a lot more
money. But you also may, you don't want to price yourself out of the market. So I typically don't see an exponential increase with artists when you compare 8x10 and a 24x30. It's usually not exponentially that much larger. So you just have to be confident with your prices as you have them. You want to be competitive, but more importantly, you want to make sure that your efforts and your supplies and everything that it takes that you put into that painting, you're being more than compensated fairly for that. So it's kind of determining the price of a large painting is the same process you go by when you determine the prices of small paintings. I recommend checking out similar artists that sell and checking out their pricing. You can calculate a square inch price, but I don't know if that's necessarily the best system in this case, but you have to do what's best for you. And
that's
you just
right.
kind of sometimes have to pick a price and stick it up there and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, you can adjust it.
I have a funny story about that. A certain Cape Cod artist that we both know had a very large painting. She normally paints smaller, and it was going into a show where everything had to be for sale.
Mm-hmm.
So she did not want this large painting to sell particularly. She actually liked it and wanted to keep it. So she put an outrageous price on it. And, of course,
it sold.
And she said, I guess I should paint large more often. I thought,
Isn't
that always the way?
I know exactly who we're talking about.
Yes, you do. All right. So we have a few tips. We have some tips for painting on a large canvas. And again, you know, this is a totally different experience, I have to say, physically. But that's the fun part. And it makes you sort of, I think it can charge up your creativity. So here we go. Evaluate your design first. So this is the first thing you should consider, right? This is your whole inspiration for the painting. You're looking at it. You're thinking about what you want to create. Consider how it's going to look on a really large canvas. Is this going to be life size, or sort of are you going to really go for it and really exaggerate it and make it larger than life? Will that subject on a really large scale help sort of convey what your vision was for that piece? Or, you know, some things just don't work blown up large. And I think you really need to consider that the piece should be suited for the size that you're going to paint on it. So start with that one.
I think that's really, really important. Okay.
I'm sure you do it all the time.
Tip number 12.
Yeah.
Choose a proper support. It could almost be anything that will support your creation. But think about physical as well as functional aspects of a large support. Is your painting easy to move? Is it going to require special handling? Being large, possibly very large, will it stand up under its own weight?
That's
huge. if you're commonly painting on a canvas board, and you decide you're going to paint on a canvas board, and the painting's 72 by 72 inches, it may just be too heavy to hang. So you have to think about how you make that jump, and that whatever you do paint on still works. So obviously stretch canvas weighs very little and works very well for large paintings, but it may be a different surface that you're not accustomed to painting on. So don't just think you can automatically replicate what you use on smaller paintings, because there is that issue of being able to hang it. And if you're going to paint a very large canvas, you have to make sure that it's got enough support that the painting in the canvas won't kind of warp from hanging. So you really need to
no
make
pressure.
Sure Yeah, that if you're going to invest in that too, you want to invest in a good canvas because you don't want to go to all that work and then have it look crooked or warp a little bit off the wall over time. So it's just being careful.
Right.
That's all. And and not being too cheap.
Don't be cheap. That's right. If you're going large, you're right off the bat, you're not being cheap. All right. Our next tip is choose your medium carefully. Now, we've already talked about having, if you're painting, mixing up a large pile of paint. But you need to consider the quantity of whatever it is you're going to use to actually render this piece of art. How much material are you going to use? Consider the color palette so that you know you've got plenty of everything in stock. I cannot imagine how much white I would go through on a really huge canvas because it seems to me I'm always buying white paint. But, you know, if you're working on something, a gigantic piece, I don't know, 6 feet by 4 feet even, I don't think you could do that with pastels. I mean, maybe it's been done, but, you know, there are some sizes and some materials that are just better suited to one another. So give it a few minutes thought anyway, and then do whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. You're the boss. Yeah.
Once you've kind of chosen your medium, you have to decide on the format. And so what that means is your subject going to be vertical? Did I really just say that?
That was good.
Vertical or horizontal, portrait or landscape in relation to your canvas. A large size can play tricks with your perception. So you do have to think about that, and you have to be really careful that it doesn't go wonky on you. Really, really careful. You should be able, looking at the size of your canvas, to kind of figure out if it's going to be, you know, horizontal or vertical. And if you use square, and that's what the original painting was, that's fine. Now, most of the large paintings I painted, well, not most, a majority, were not based on smaller paintings. I just, you know me, I just painted large. So it's a little risky, but it was a wonderful experience. And, of course, painting abstracts is a whole different story. So,
I'm telling you, you know, you can kind of understand, you think about those Jackson Pollocks, which, I mean, my gosh, they build the wall, you know, they're 8 feet tall and heavens knows how long. I'm thinking of the one I recently saw, which, you know, it absolutely filled the wall. And you can see why he could do that because it was his style of painting, but it's not going to be suited to everything. So one of the things you need to do is consider how you're going to sketch out the main elements on that scale of canvas, and think about that beforehand. Unless you're doing an abstract, you probably want to, you know, whether you sketch, I know some people sketch with a piece of charcoal, other people will use a really, you know, sort of watered down, maybe lots of medium and a little bit of transparent paint, whatever. You want to think about how you're going to do that so that you can have the correct proportions, particularly to the size of the canvas you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, planning ahead and having several small sketches first is going to really help you get that scale right. And I think if you've done that, you can freehand it, you know, whether you're using a whatever it is that you use to lay it out. Freehand it, and again, don't forget that you can always use a grid. And I think if you have a smaller painting or sketch that you're working from on this large scale, gridding it out is going to at least let you get those basic lines, shapes, and forms down, and it'll make the whole process easier. I mean, this is kind of fun when you sort of think about it. I know sometimes artists will use photography, you know, they'll take a picture, enlarge it, and then they can sort of trace it, or they can use, I don't know, those mirror gizmos that allow you to, whatever it is. Don't forget that there are things like AccuView that'll help you without having to get too sort of crazy with the mechanics. AccuView is an app, and if you have an image, you know, even if it's a photograph you've taken for reference, if you use AccuView, it'll overlay the grid, and that will kind of, you can do it in the same proportions as the canvas you're working on. So
I think that's the best way to do it, hands down. If you grid your photo and you grid, or you know, grid what you're looking at, you can get a grid viewfinder, and then you grid your canvas with pencil. It's so easy to kind of transfer and just get an outline of where you're going, just to make sure that your proportions are in shape. Because after you've kind of sketched out the main elements, obviously you have to stand back and assess, because you want to make sure you make those changes now. And the thing you have to realize is a larger scale painting may change the way people see color, shadows, settings, whatever. So once you've kind of sketched that on and you've seen it, you may realize, oh, it's too big, or that's too big, or this, there isn't enough on the canvas, or the the perspective's off. I mean, there's so many things that can happen. And it's not, I don't want to make it sound too complex, but it's just things you have to be aware. That's all. Most of the time, you're going to be great.
I have visions now of, like, every painter we know going to, you know, an 8x10-foot canvas, which would be wonderful, but this is a real physical undertaking. It's kind of fun to imagine. There's going to be a real run on huge stretchers at the art store. We're up to our tip number 17, which is, it's actually twofold. It's make sure you're squeezing out enough paint on the palette so that you can do the job you've set. But the other thing is, make sure you get a larger palette. You know, you cannot do, I've seen people who are very efficient using very small palettes, more power to them. The bigger the palette, the happier I am. But if you're doing a really, really large painting, everything's going to take up more room. Make sure you've got a palette where you can lay out those big blobs of paint. You can mix color. You can, you know, we all know you're going to be mixing different values. Give yourself enough room to work. And save yourself the trouble of trying to replicate that color. Be brave, you know, really mix up the pile of paint you're going to need while you're standing there at the canvas. So, again, big palette.
Yeah. And then you kind of just need to paint normally. Be ready to change a few things. You may need a different setting or a larger room, not only because of the larger canvas, but you need enough room to maneuver around. I painted a painting once. Honestly, I had about 2 feet around the edge of my canvas in my studio, which is not small. And I literally, on one end, had to sneak by, and my apron still has a stripe of paint where every time I would sneak by, it was that tight.
Oh, no.
And it was so, I was so claustrophobic, it was horrible. But I didn't have a choice. I mean, what was I going to do? Go outside and paint where there's, like, you know, stuff falling out of the trees? That was not an option. It was really, really hard. So you need to make sure that you do have enough room to maneuver around. And you may need a different easel, because I painted flat because I didn't want the acrylic I was using to drip. But a lot of people want to paint on an easel. So you need a larger easel, because some of the ones we have in our studio are not going to hold a larger canvas. And you have to just be aware of that. You also have to worry about height in your studio. If you have a short ceiling, be really careful, because you don't want to be sitting on the ground while you're painting your painting, because you want your canvas to be able to be upright. And obviously, as Margaret said, you need larger knives and brushes so you can cover the canvas more efficiently, and just allow enough time, because it does take longer, but it's super fun.
Oh, it does. It is fun. And, you know, again, even if it's not for you in the end, it's so great to give it a shot. So,
yeah.
I think, what are we up to? Number 19. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're whipping through these. So we're gonna just say, this might become your favorite method of artistic expression. It could happen. Relax and enjoy whatever it is that's different about painting large. You can certainly spend some time looking for the materials online. I know there's a place called www.canvasplace.com, CanvasPlace. It's in Southern California, Leslie. You can drop by. Their canvases are sold in 2 and 3 packs, and they
go significantly larger and cheaper than a lot of the art stores. Now, you know, this is a very personal thing, but just like shipping, I'm going to tell you that if you can outsource stretching a larger canvas, unless you're really familiar with it, it's a great thing to do because it's difficult to get that tension even all around a really big canvas. So unless it's your thing and you love it and you stretch them tighter than anyone else and you've got great big heavy-duty stretchers so that, you know, you're not going to warp it while you're pulling your canvas tight, I mean,
right.
Maybe the way to start is to outsource. So
mm-hmm.
check them out. I've seen huge canvases, well, huge by my reckoning, even at Blick. But, again, you've got to be able to get them home in one piece. So just kind of think about it.
Yep. The last tip we're going to give you, say you don't have the easel. And those big easels are expensive. They're not $100 by any means. You can always hang your canvas on the wall. And you actually alluded to this earlier in the show, Margaret. But for really big canvases, hanging them on the wall to paint them can work really well. Now, you probably want to cover the wall with plastic before you do that. But if you've got a vacant wall, hang it on the wall and paint it that way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. You may need a stepladder depending upon the size. Don't hang it too high. Make sure it's within arm reach. But what it does is rather than painting flat or however else you would do it, it frees up your body so you can be more gestural when you're painting. And I think that's really important. You don't want to feel restricted because your creativity kind of goes out the door. If that makes sense. So.
I think it's kind of, you know, it sounds like so much fun because, you know, some painters stand, some painters sit, some painters do a little of both.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a really large canvas, it's actually physical activity. So maybe you can get your exercise while you're painting. I love this idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, you can.
Well,
you can.
Great. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it during the 30 and 30, though, because I like to keep things manageable.
I understand
but
that.
I think, let's go big.
No, it's a,
go big or go home.
Yeah. No, there's some pretty cool ideas here of things you can do.
If we have listeners that go large and find that it appeals to their audience or their market, whoever's buying your paintings, I would love to hear about it.
Oh,
that would be really
absolutely
great to get some feedback on that, because more and more I'm hearing from people that this is what galleries and buyers are asking for all the time. So if you have a success story, let us know.
I love the concept. It changed my life when I started painting larger, and it's really kind of a fantastic opportunity to do something different and have fun, be creative, paint loosely, and make more money. Just saying.
It's a win-win.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, good.
So, what a fun show, Margaret. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm itching to go big. I'll get a knee, and then I'll go big. All right.
So wait, all of us, everyone listening to the show wants to wish you the best of luck tomorrow. And
thank you.
I do expect a text as soon as you're coherent enough. And just to tell me that everything went A-okay, which I'm sure it will.
I will
but
hear.
Tomorrow's going to be a long day. If you really are going to have surgery in the morning and be walking on it in the afternoon, that's just amazing.
Well, let's hear it for medical advances. and I will be on the show next week, so I'll let you all know how it went. In the
all
meantime,
right, take care.
Everybody keep painting. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.